Their phone number is area code 318-442-7300. Join us now as we enter into a service already in progress as I preach and teach the Word of God.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are invited to the 20th celebration banquet of Pastor and First Lady Stanley R. and Linda Mathis of the Antioch Missionary Baptist Church. This banquet is going to be held Saturday, November 4th at 6 p.m. at the Alexandria Convention Hall in downtown Alexandria. The special guest speaker is Dr. Samuel C. Talbert, Jr., the pastor of the Greater St. Mary Baptist Church of Lake Charles, Louisiana. Tickets can be purchased by October 20th for $35 by making a check or money order payable to the Antioch Missionary Baptist Church and mailing it to the church at 2308 Houston Street in Alexandria. You don't want to miss the 20th celebration banquet for Pastor and First Lady Stanley and Linda Mathis. Saturday, November 4th at 6 p.m. at Convention Hall. Then Sunday at the church at 9 a.m. The morning service features Bishop Baron Nelson of Red Oak, Texas. Then at 3 p.m. at the church, Dr. Joshua Joy Guerra and the Zion Hill Church family of Pineville, Louisiana. 2 days of celebration honoring Pastor Stanley and First Lady Linda Mathis. November 4th and 5th.
I want us to look at Joseph's life. It tells us the process of forgiveness began in the life of Joseph, started when Joseph was 17 in Genesis 37 and 2. He is sold into slavery to some Mennonite traders by his brothers because they were upset with Joseph's dreams, in which he claimed his family, both his mother and his father and his brother, would bow down to him. And he had said this earlier. We are then told that the Mennonites sold Joseph to Potiphar, who was an officer in Pharaoh's court in Egypt. Sometime later, we are told Potiphar's wife falsely accused Joseph of trying to abuse her. She came on to him. And Joseph is thrown into prison in chapter 39. I'm giving you some historical data. While Joseph is in prison, Joseph correctly interprets the dream of Pharaoh cupbearer and his baker. And that's in chapter 40. The cupbearer was restored to his position while, just as Joseph had predicted, while the baker lost his life. 2 years later, when Pharaoh had a dream in which they could not interpret, the cupbearer remembered Joseph, and Joseph was called to interpret the Pharaoh's dream. Chapter 41. Pharaoh, we are told, then made Joseph his second in command in order to oversee the collection of grain during 7 years of plenty, in which to follow and distribute the grain during 7 years of famine in Genesis 41. That's the background of the story. You will never get the story if you read one chapter. God expects us to know his word, not pieces of his word. That's why you have preachers and teachers and pastors. The historical test states in Genesis 50 that we read in 15 through 18, it says, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, it may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him. So they sent a message to Joseph saying, your father gave you command before he dies to say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brother and their sin because they did evil to you. And now please forgive the transgressions of the servants of the God of your father. Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, behold, we are your servant. Forgiveness. Behold, we are your servants. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is, Antioch, giving up my rights to seek revenge for the offense of others. You'll catch that on the way home. It's giving up my rights to seek revenge for others for the offense of others. Joseph does not try to deny, cover up, or even play down the action of his brothers. He tells them that their actions were meant to harm him. That was still true then, as it was 40 years earlier when they sold him into slavery. Sometimes people do want to harm you because they don't like you. But on the other hand, Joseph doesn't overemphasize it either. It seems that this is an example of what Paul wrote about when he described the need to speak the truth in love. How many times have you heard me say that my mother is mean? It seems as though the older my mother has become, the more she says what's on her mind. And that can be good or bad. For example, children don't have filters. They just say things in response to what they feel or experience. They may say that you have a body odor because they don't know that's embarrassing. They're just saying what they are experiencing. It's the truth. But guess what happened? That, you know what we do to our children? You can't do that. Now we're almost about to tell them to tell a lie. Because we said, even though they're telling the truth, don't say that. We have discovered in this dispensation that God has told us everything to say, speak truth to power. And yet sometimes we're afraid to speak the truth, and we'll sometimes tell lie because we don't want to disrupt the power. Let me see. Is that ballot legitimate? We know it's not, we know it is because we saw everything that happened. But when I come before the people, no, it's not. Why is it that we can't tell the truth? And now we find ourselves in a situation where we're in today. Hypocrisy at its highest. I may be killed for the things that I say. Because what I say impacts the enemy who does not want to hear the truth. But if we do not tell the truth, then the whole generation will be led astray by a lie. And that's exactly what the enemy desires. His desire is to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But when the truth is being expounded, when God's word is being shared, when the knowledge of what God wants his people to know is being said, the enemy does not like it. And the moment you start speaking truth to power, the enemy will raise up his head against you. Now, there is a governmental power, but there is a spiritual power, far greater than a governmental power, that does not want the truth to be shared. And I really don't care about that spiritual power. My brothers and sisters, when we see these things happening, how many times have we seen all of these examples in life, and yet we let them slide through the cracks? How many times have we used the power of our words to offend or hurt people? Antioch. Words have power, and they can be used for good or bad. They can build up, or they can tear down. Joseph's brother conspire against him concerning what he said about them and his parents. He had a dream, and he said, Mom and Dad will bow down, and my brothers too. And because he said that, Daryl, they got upset with him. Folks don't want you over them. If you do, we're going to tell you, thank you. Let me leave that alone. Let me leave that alone. They will tear you down. Because when we see God elevating someone, there is an element that always wants to bring down what God is lifting. Thank you. Secondly, forgiveness is releasing my rights to hand out justice. According to biblical Bibles, but biblical forgiveness, it never denies the need for justice. It doesn't deny it, the need for justice. Because under the law, there's a need for justice. And God, under the law, said either you live by my law or you will die by it. It requires justice. It just means I choose not to dispense or hand out justice myself. I'm going to give them a piece of your mind, my mind. You give them a piece of your mind, that means you crazy. Because half of a mind is not a whole mind. We saw that in this nut that killed all of those people for no reason at all. We're living in a corrupt and a crazy world today because there's an enemy out trying to do exactly what he has been predestined to do. And that's to alter the plan that God has for the church. Not for the world, but for the church. My brothers and sisters, Joseph is in a unique position since he is not only their brother, but also Joseph is a high-ranking government official. So he had the power. He had the authority. Do you know powers have the authority of the church? There's nobody in the church that has more power than the pastor. He has the power to raise up or tear down. He has the power to build or not. The power is relegated in the hands of one man. That's why you have pastors. And if you got two of them, you got something that's out of order. Joseph, my brothers and sisters, was second in command in all of Egypt. And he had the authority to judge his brothers according to their laws. How many times have we used our authority to judge someone who has offended us? How many times have we used our authority to judge someone who have offended us? And what if God used the same authority that we use to judge you? Be careful, my brothers and sisters, how you judge people, because the same judgment that you place on someone else may be used on.
Thank you for tuning in to Paradise Ministry. We pray something said today has encouraged you in your personal relationship with the Lord. If you would like to have a copy of this message, you can email us at antiochmathis@bellsouth.net, or you can send a love offering of $8 to Paradise Ministry, P.O. Box 281, Woodworth, Louisiana, 71485. As always, we hope to see you in church.
The Unstoppable Wade Hampton Show.